Well, I'll tell you who should hate you, and that's Auburn fans, because he has failed them up to this point, and that's why we like Mike Gittins' war report. I mean, he tells it like it is, and tell us why Auburn's going to be much improved.
Well, you know what? Here's one thing Hugh Freeze has done well, and whether you want to attribute this to recruiting or you want to attribute it to NIL, he's gotten talent in there. He's upgraded wide receiver. I don't think that's debatable at all. Cam Coleman should be one of the best wide receivers in the country, guys. Eric Singleton Jr., I've got high hopes for him to transfer from Georgia Tech. They said he's running a low 4.240 right now, blazing fast. And when you see what they did with Keandre Lambert-Smith last year, I think I've got a little faith in what they can do at wide receiver, especially with high-profile transfers. So he'll be one of the better receivers in the conference. Malcolm Simmons was another top 150 guy who made a lot of big plays for them last year. They said he just played like a freshman. He's clearly one of the most athletic guys on the field. Every time he steps on the field, just play like a freshman. Well, he's not playing like a freshman anymore. So if you're Hugh Freeze, you've kind of removed all the excuses you said you had when you came in the door, because he very famously and nonstop blamed the talent the first 2 years. I don't think that's debatable. He came through and all he talked about was a talent gap. This was the one of the things that he did that I hated the most. It was, you know, when Saban took over Alabama and he came back from the Dolphins in, 2007? They lost to Louisiana Monroe. I didn't hear crap about a talent gap. He just said, we lost the football game we should have won, and we got to do better, and that's on me as a coach to make sure my guys are prepared, and then guys have to execute. That's what I thought I would hear from Hugh Freeze, but it was, oh, you know, we got to catch up to the big boys. And I was like, okay, but is Vanderbilt a big boy? Because you lost to them too. It was pretty unbelievable, I think, that kept going for 2 years. Well, Auburn said, okay, here's an open checkbook. Go get who you need. And now that this team, this is the question I had for him this morning. Now that this team is clearly in the mold of what you think a talented football team is, what should Auburn fans expect? And, you know, he has tried to hedge on the 7 wins. Like, you know, well, it depends on how you win 7 games. I'm like, I'm sorry. No, sir. I'm not letting you get away with that one. With this schedule, 7 wins, you point to me to 5 losses where there's not a really bad loss in there on this schedule. This is one of the easiest Auburn schedules we've seen in 20 years.
Well, it's what we talked about earlier on your show. But I do think a lot of it hedges on that first game. That Baylor, we talked about some of the most important games week 1. Everybody's going to be watching Friday. How important is it that we start off the right way?
Yeah, because it is super important for Auburn. And I think there's a high amount of anxiety about what this is going to look like game 1. Is it going to look like a well-tuned machine? Or is it going to be like, hey, we've got to figure this out and that out, or what we've heard for the last 2 years? So if it looks good week 1 versus what should be a pretty solid Baylor team, guys, I covered the Big 12 as well, and I followed Baylor last year. They had a decent football team that had some clear shortcomings, but they should be a formidable challenge for week 1. And if you don't go in there focused, you could get your butt beat. So I do think it's important, because what we talked about earlier was that first 6-game stretch is what makes your season if you're Auburn. If you get out of that thing 3-3, you know, it might be rough, right? 4-2, you're in really good shape headed into Missouri, followed by Arkansas, followed by Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and then Mercer. But if you're for some reason, by the worst luck ever, under 500 headed into Missouri after you probably just got beat by Georgia again for the gajillionth time in a row, I don't know. I think firing should not be off the table. And that's just fair. Firing should not be off the table. You've been given too many resources. You've been given too many chances. You've been given too many things that other coaches would absolutely beg for to have another below 500 football team headed into November.
Yeah, and speaking of the resources, I swear this is not a troll. With the golf stuff and everything going on with that, but I know that's upset fans just because of where the current recruiting rankings are, but I have heard that Auburn is spending more than just about anybody in the country, top 5 most money spent on the current roster. And I don't know how much you follow Pete Nankos over at On3, but he just did a list, top 10. Auburn was in that list as well. So I say all that to say, from the outside looking in, is it, my read on it is Auburn people have invested so much into this team. They want to see what Hugh Freeze does it with it before he, they're willing to spend another dime in recruiting. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that is a spot-on assessment, actually. The more that I learn about how the dollars have flowed and how they're flowing right now, there is a wait-and-see about, hey, did you finally pick the right quarterback? Because we paid $400K for the last one, and, you know, you rotated him in and you benched him. Last year, he got benched, right? I had an hour-long conversation with Auburn's AD, John Cullen, last Monday. I was driving to Pensacola with the girlfriend and the family. And John calls. John calls, and we are talking about the state of NIL Go. And he did say that Auburn has spent a massive amount of money on roster retention. The Cam Coleman's, you know, you've had losing football seasons. If you want to, you're silly if you don't think overtures are not being made to your better players to say, hey, why are you sticking with a losing program? And those guys are smart. They're leveraging that for more cash. So roster retention is something that I think is real. I think that with the state of the rules, you're going to see teams spending more money retaining their rosters in cycles. So if you have like two top 10 recruiting classes, well, the focus isn't going to be on keeping those guys there. And if you're adhering to the cap, you don't have endless money to go out and spend on more top 10 talent and keep your roster together, right? You're around money at some point. And that's what John is saying. They said Auburn has chosen to focus on, because the 2026 recruiting class isn't going to amount to a hill of beans in terms of what they have to win this fall. So let's focus on paying and keeping the guys here so that you can win enough football teams so we can get to even a point where we can talk about the next recruiting class. I think that's the right approach, personally. It's an institutional stance that Auburn has taken to NIL Go. I asked them a few other questions, guys, that I was very curious about, and I wanted to hear an AD's perspective. We're very blessed to have direct access to our AD. I said, you know, what kind of enforcement power does NIL Go have? And he said, look, man, they've got the teeth that the NCAA never had given to them by the House settlement. I said, what are we talking about? Are we talking about cap penalties, loss of eligibility, fines to the institution, fines to the player? He said it could be all of the above. They're going to look under your skirt, and they're going to look at your deals done by your collective, and if any conversation was had between the player and the university about the deal that the collective made, doesn't mean the deal's invalid. It means NIL ghosts could say, this counts towards your cap. And then teams, they're betting after August 1st, are going to find themselves maybe millions of dollars over their cap, having to restructure deals, and then players backing out and saying, look, man, this is what and this is what Ross Dillinger is saying. Teams are handing out fake money. This is what he means when he says they're handing out fake money. So the resources are there, and you're absolutely right, Mike. It's, you know what? Instead of pouring more money into a 2026 recruiting class that if we lose the coach, they're going to be gone anyway, let's just keep the money focused on the players that he brought here and see how many football games he can win in 2025.
And I don't think that's a unique problem to Auburn. I would say the same thing in Oklahoma, probably the same thing at Florida, maybe even LSU. You know, if LSU goes 7-5, are they going to give Brian Kelly untold amount of money to go collect a roster? I think the answer is no.
Yeah, I agree with you. Look, he's produced the Heisman, but he's also failed to make the playoffs. With a lot of resources and a very fertile recruiting ground and a university where we know you can win championships. I think Joe Burrow, I go back and forth between Joe and Cam, and, you know, I'm an Auburn guy. I graduated from Auburn, but it's hard to look at what Joe Burrow did at LSU in 2019 and say that's not the best single season a quarterback has ever had, like 60 touchdowns. Come on, man. He was unstoppable, and he's already made a Super Bowl appearance. I think his NFL career has justified how good he was in college. LSU has all the resources you could want, and for all intents and purposes, you know, if Coach O can go down there and win a championship, Coach O – Come on, Brian, man. You got to pull it together here, brother. You got a lot. You're a great player. You left Notre Dame because this was supposed to be the place where it's easier to accomplish some of the things that you want to check off your coaching bucket list. So you're right. It's not specific to just Auburn, but Auburn famously gets in their own way when it comes to certain things. And, you know, they've just got to get out of their own way. Is this the right stance to take on NIL Go? I think the honest answer is nobody really knows. But because of the history behind it, most schools are just rolling the dice that it's not going to be enforceable. And they're already preparing. I've covered this. They're already preparing to mount legal challenges when this clearinghouse comes through and says, well, that's the counts towards your cap. And they're going to say, no, it doesn't, and talk to our lawyers about it, and we're going to go get an injunction and stop you. And you begged for a system, and then when you got it, the first thing you did was mount a legal challenge to the rules they put in place. Auburn has taken this stance. A lot of people feel like A.D. Cohen's job is on the line based on the stance that he's taken here. Hugh Freeze is taking the heat. I'm telling you, man, he's being told, pump the brakes. Right, and I don't know if it's right or not, but you're right. You're absolutely right. It's not specific to Auburn. It's everyone has a choice to make in how they choose to handle this. And if you're Auburn, those choices feel heavier because you've got a losing football team. You've been losing games for 4 years, four straight losing. Since Gus has been gone, Auburn hasn't had a winning season. So everything feels heavier right now on the Plains.
Untangle that one, Mike. You know, I mean, that is deep. They got to have a winning season. And to do that, ultimately, it comes down to talent, comes down to coaching. You know, you've seen a lot. How many years have you been down there at Auburn? Behind the scenes, anyway.
Behind the scenes? Well, I, as a student, I filmed every game and practice for 4.5 years while Ronnie and Cadillac were playing down there. So I saw the best of Auburn football.
Don't mention Cadillac around Shane.
They should have been UT. But, hey, I say that to say this. You're down there in spring. You're watching. You know when there's a little more pep in the step, when there's bigger, faster, stronger guys out there. Do you feel like this roster this season could be a big success?
Yes, I don't think the talent's the problem. As a matter of fact, I don't think the talent was as much of the problem as they tried to make it sound like it was the first 2 years. I think that superior coaching wins out more times than not, and it's done so well that you don't even realize it. The players look better in a better system with a coach who knows what to do with their talent. The question is, does Hugh Freeze know what to do with talent? I just sat down with Jake Crane from Crane & Co. We talked about it. He said, look, man, you got to be good at what you're good at, and you got to not be bad at what you're good at. So if you're a QB guy, your QBs better play well. And I don't think you can say QBs have played well since Hugh Freeze has been on the Plains. If another former five-star comes and bombs out, do we have a pattern? Right? Can you really blame the players? Can you say, like, you know, what are the chances? Guys, think about this. Auburn under Gus was where – like top 10 players went to die. I mean, do you remember Byron Coward? Do you remember his name? He's the number one overall player coming out of high school, and he transferred. When those guys go to Bama or Georgia or Ohio State, they leave first round draft picks. He transferred. Give me a break, man. You, like, for so long, Auburn has undercoached and underdeveloped talent. And I think that was Gus's thing when he declared after Auburn beat Oregon in 2019 that Bo Nix was going to win championships. That guy's going to win championships before. Famous last words. Because not only did he not win championships, he transferred. And then almost won a championship. So can you blame Bo? Like, we know Bo had the talent. I'm not sure that Bo was ever the five-star that they tried to make him out to be, but he was definitely better than what Auburn got out of him. I think that's a fair statement. So what can this coach get out of this coaching staff? Out of this roster. That's the big hanging question for Auburn. It's not about Damari Alston and Jeremiah Cobb and Cam Coleman, who's one of the best receivers to ever come to Auburn, Eric Singleton Jr. Defensively, nobody ran away from Auburn on the scoreboard. Nobody did. They hung that defense, beside third down defense, which was historically bad, they turned Alabama over four times in the Iron Bowl and lost by two touchdowns. because the offense was that bad. And they produced explosive plays, but they were all-time bad in the red zone. And to me, that's a coaching issue. If you have the capability to create the explosive plays that we saw, but you can't consistently score, it's a play-calling issue, and it's a teaching issue. Guys not understanding what to do in pressure moments and not performing in pressure moments, that's a teaching issue. And I think that that comes back to Hugh Freeze. During our one-on-one, he owned that. I said, Coach, you talked a lot about a talent gap, but there's a lot of people felt like there's a coaching gap. And I said it as respectfully as I could. And he said, oh, we're not running from that. And I was like, yeah, all right, aren't you though? All right, so we'll see. We'll see where this turns out. This is going to be a very interesting year, I think, on the Plains. John Cohen, there are jobs on the line this year. I like John Cohen. I think that he is an honest guy. I think that he is forthcoming, and I think he means well. I think he loves Auburn. But I don't know if he's right. And I don't – none of that means anything if you're not right. He's got to be right about what he's doing with NIL. He's got to be right about hiring Hugh Freeze. The function of the AD at Auburn is to hire and fire football coaches. You know, what Bruce is doing is great, but you're not getting fired because your basketball team is not winning. You're getting fired because your football team is not winning. And that's where Auburn is at right now. So it's a coaching. It's coaching. It's coaching. It's talent identification, and it's talent development. Those are the three things that Auburn needs to pick it up on. And if you're not the guy, get the guys who do that well, pay them whatever. That's why they made DJ Durkin the second highest paid assistant in the country this offseason. They dropped the bag because they saw development on the defensive side. And they said, look, man, we don't want to restart here. What do we got to do to keep this guy here so that we can figure out what to do offensively and then just have one fire to put out instead of two? I think it's pretty clear.
You know, the one name you haven't mentioned that looms over this whole thing, though? Jackson Arnold. So what do you make of him this year? Because we've had people in here say, knowledgeable, you know, SEC Network people, saying he's essentially a broken quarterback where they have to rebuild him. And if you're telling me that that's the task facing Hugh Freeze, I honestly don't have faith in him to do that. Maybe he will. But it, you know, remains to be seen. But what are your expectations for Jackson Arnold right out the gate? Because again, if he starts slow, there may not be a year two under Hugh Freeze.
Well, let's think about what happened at Oklahoma last year, right? Like the whole receiver room got hurt. I mean, it was a mess everywhere there offensively. But you're right. Roman Harper sat down and essentially said, like, look, man, he was just a bad QB. He's a good athlete, but he was a bad QB. And if your thing is talent development, if you're Hugh Freeze, I'm not sure you need a project this year. You need a savior. And if you need a savior, you should have dropped $4 million in the portal for a savior at QB. look, there's a belief. He said this during our one-on-one, that when he recruited Jackson Arnold out of high school, he thought he was a freak athlete. He said, I still think he's a freak. And he went after a guy he was familiar with in the recruiting process, and he thinks he has the tools. Now, whether he's realistic with himself about whether he's the guy to bring those tools out and make them productive, that's left to be seen. But that's the question that we have to answer that this year, Mike, is you're not going to go another year with him playing subpar, or even if he's just a little better than he is at Oklahoma, it's not going to get it done, man. You have to win football games, and you got to win a lot of them this year because of how the first 2 years went, and you're not going to do that if Jackson Arnold isn't significant. Peyton Thorne, look, man, he passed for 2,700 yards last year. That's fairly prolific at Auburn. I don't know if you guys know this, but they've only had three single-season 3,000-yard passers in the whole history of the program. Cam Newton came up short of 3,000 yards passing, right? It was like Jarrett Stidham, I think Damian Craig did it. Right, and Stan White did it like in the early 90s. So it's not a common occurrence, but whenever Auburn has been able to find quarterback play, they've been in the conversation for championships. And if you're Hugh, the same way I say the AD, his function is to hire and fire football coaches, if you're Hugh, find a quarterback, man. Find a quarterback, get it done, and you know, make him successful by any means necessary. What they've done is they've stacked the deck around him, and they've tried to raise the floor so that it's too hard for him to fail. We're going to give you every good pass catcher we can find, and if you can get it within 3 yards of these guys, I may be dating myself, but do you guys remember Ken Dorsey? Right? Look, man, Santana Moss and Kellen Winslow Jr., those guys, if you just got the ball near him, they were going to catch it. And Ken Dorsey barely got drafted and did not have a – mean, he won almost every game he played. He was one of the best college quarterbacks I've ever watched, but he was not good enough to play at the next level. They stacked the deck around him at Miami. He had freaks around him everywhere. Hugh Freeze has taken that approach to Jackson Arnold. He said, look, he's good enough, and if I – maybe it's harder for me to find that guy at quarterback, but it's easier for me to go out and find a Cam Coleman and a Eric Singleton and all these other guys. And if I can raise the floor high enough, maybe we can win enough football games. I'll close on this. Georgia, in their first championship with Stetson Bennett, they won games where he passed the ball 12 times or less. 8 for 12 or something, and they won games because the defense was stacked higher than we've ever seen, and he had playmakers on offense. I told every Georgia fan that watches our show, I said, if you're going to repeat, he's going to have to raise his game. And boy, did he, man. He made New York for the Heisman. Could you see Jackson Arnold making that kind of jump under Hugh Freeze? It might be a tall task, so it's going to be fun to watch either way. It may not be fun for Jackson, but we'll see. We'll see how much fun he's having.
All I got out of that was Cam Newton was the fourth best quarterback at Auburn. All right, hey, Mike Gittins, before you go, tell the people how they follow you, how they find your show.
Guys, you know the deal. Follow us on social media at The War Report, every social media platform. We're TW Report on TikTok. But most of all, subscribe on YouTube at The War Report and become a patron. We do lots of great film reviews behind our paywall for our patrons. So if you want to learn the game at a higher level, we're providing that opportunity at The War Report every single week.
Thank you,
brother. Thank you so much, Mike.